So many important matters that we've been speaking about since the beginning of the Zman. The first issue, which begins with the opening Mishnah in the seventh parak in Masechta Gittin, where we are taught, Misha'achazo kurdaikis, v'ama kisu get li ishti l'ama klum. It's nothing. The Gemara has the Masechta Gittin daf ayin amud beis. And commenting on the second part of the Mishnah, he says kisu get li ishti. Then he has a kurdaikis and he says no. So his last words are nothing. So Rish Lakish says kosev enosin get li alter. Rav Yochanan says no, and kosev en ella lichishay yishtape. Rish Lakish compares it to a yoshein. Rav Yochanan compares him to a shote. The question is whether he's considered like a shote because he's mechusa maisa. And Rish Lakish says he's considered to be like a yoshein because sami biyodam. Okay? This is the Gemara Masechta Gittin on daf ayin amud beis. Fine. Says Tosfos ayin amud beis hasam. In commenting on the sugya on this daf, talking about the very next piece of the sugya, the Gemara says someone who was very sick, about to die, hasam daita tzilusahi. His mind is still clear, he's just getting weak. Says Tosfos, we're not sure how far it's considered to be daita tzilusa. Do you check him out? We'll talk later about checking somebody out to see if he's of sane mind. And when it comes to a shchiv meraliyah for the recess, tzorach lizor shlo yiskalkel ben ksivul in asina. In the skalkel ben tayim, I feel in this pakech lebesof ain moel. I feel the rishlokish lo sami biyodin. An amazing chiddush here in Tosfos, as we have it, assuming to be taken at face value, that not only must a person be of sound mind b'shas ksiva, which is clear in the Gemara, but he also has to be assigned and presumably, it's according to Tosfos, he has to be of sound mind during the Nesina. Those are the two critical moments of the husband's involvement in the get. True, the ksiva can be done by somebody else. And true, the Nesina can be done by somebody else. But in principle, his actions have to be done by the husband, v'kosav v'nasan. So he has to be of sound mind at that point in time. But it says Tosfos, bigger chiddush. He has to even be of sound mind at all points in between one and the other, between the ksiva and the Nesina. And the question, of course, becomes, where does that come from? Why should that be so? It's so much so that the Beis Yosef says, don't take Tosfos literally. He never meant it. All right, if he never meant it, he never meant it. Nothing to talk about. But if he meant it, why should it be so? So as a matter of fact, if you look in the Rashash, he says, look in the Korban Asana, quotes the Beis Yosef. It doesn't really mean it. He says, no, it really means it. Why? Kevin shenishtata achar ksiva nidche aget vishuv. Once the get is what we call nidche. What does nidche mean? Nidche means it's pushed aside. A concept of dichui. Dichui. Now we have a concept of dichui that the get is considered to be a bottle, and once it's bottle, it cannot be resuscitated, if you will. It gives all kinds of other comparisons of all over Shas. By mitzvahs, by karbonis, right? This is look in the Beit Shmuel, simil kuf chaf alas of cotton. Hey, so this is an idea of dichui. Once it's pushed aside, it cannot come back again. This is one interpretation of, if again, assuming Tosfos does mean it, that's where Tosfos got it from. Okay. Now, this is what the Rashash suggests. Others suggest that just as we find the kosa v'nosan with nothing in between, for example, it's mechubal karka and you cut off in between, it's no good. So here too, if there's something in between, a moment of insanity in between, it's also no good. It's a question whether that's really true or not. Again, but those are the two possible pshatim, but then Tosfos, the Suma Tosfos really, really meant it. Good, so let's put this aside. That's just a detail. Let's focus on the two major points of both sides. The moment of the Ksiva and the moment of the Nesina. So, let's take the Ksiva first. A person appointed someone to write a get, and unfortunately became insane before the Ksiva ever transpired. What is the halacha in that kind of a case? So, the Rambam talks about it, in Hilchos Gerushin, this very case. The person became insane between the minui, between the appointment, and the actual Ksiva Saket. The Rambam says, Fim Kosvu Venastu Konosh Yavri Hareza Posel. The word Posel in the Rambam means, there's good with the rice, it's not good with the Rabbana. The Tur quotes the Rambam and disagrees. What? Why should it be only Posel with the Rabbana? If the person is a Shota at the moment that the get is being written, we should say that the get is no good on a level of the Oraisa. Why does the Rambam say that it's only no good on a level of the Rabbana? This is a question which is a very serious question. So, at first glance, we should say that the Torah is right. After all, the individual who himself is not capable at this very moment, he makes a shliach. How can the shliach be better than the mishaleach? If the mishaleach himself at this point in time is completely incapable of writing a get, because he is not of sane mind, how is it possible that the individual whom he has appointed can do better? This is the question which everybody asks, tour in effect, but the later Achronim talk about it at greater length. What's Pshat and Shitas Aramba? Let's try to analyze together what might be an interpretation of Shitas Aramba. So the classical interpretation, although, and again, we think that the Torah is right. Torah says it's Eino Klum. So believe it or not, the Chelkas Mechalkek here in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph, Sifkot and Beis towards the end says, Divi Arambam Kenim, thinks the Rambam is correct. Of course, the question is, why should the Rambam be correct? At first, we would have said on our own that the Torah is correct. So the Pri Chadosh gives a classical interpretation within Shitas HaRambam, namely, that if the person himself has not appointed a shaliach, and the person himself is not able to do what he... So of course, if he himself does it, it's nothing. He's not of sane mind. But to quote the Pri Chadosh, if you point at a shaliach, quote, the kevan shashliach nichnas b'mkom abal, ma'ich baslan, she'abal shofu yoshot b'shas ksiv v'nesina. It's only psul d'rabbana. So the Rambam says, according to the Prichodesh interpretation, that the Shaliach does better than the Mishaleach, because the Shaliach is of sane mind. Either Mishaleach, whom he's representing, how can he be better than him? He surely can be better than him, because the Mishaleach appointed the Shaliach. The Shaliach is not considered only b'mkomo, and the Shaliach is perfectly clear. This is the classical interpretation of the Prichodesh. With this interpretation is a whole discussion which is already found a little bit in Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger talks on that very Chelkas Mechokek, the Divya Rambam Kainim. Says, well, maybe it's only referring to a case where he said, Kisu Tnu. So he appointed him for both. So then he stands Bimkom Baal. We call him the Baal incarnate, because he has the ability to both write the get and give the get. But if he only told him Kisvu, perhaps even according to the Rambam, the get would not be a good get even amid the Arais. So suggests Rabbi Kiva Eger. He quotes a number of sources, Tosfos in Yud Gimel, or Rashi Samach Vav, that in all these kinds of cases we should suggest that the Shaliach is Bimkom Abal. Even if the Baal died, just to talk about a possibility of writing a get, and if the only you can't do it for technical reasons, things of this nature. We spoke about this a long time ago. We just mentioned Bekitzer Nimrus in here as it's quoted by Rabbi Kiveg. This is again along the lines of the Pri Chodesh, the classical interpretation. However, not everybody agrees with this classical interpretation of Shitas HaRambam. There are those who suggest a different interpretation of the Rambam. For some reason, they don't like this interpretation. I can think of a number of reasons why they may not like it. The Stipler, for example, says no. He says the Pshat and the Rambam is a different Pshat. The reason why a Shote is unable to do something is not because he is a Shote, but because the Shote is not considered to be a Bar Das. He's not considered to be a Bar Das. When you need Das, so the Shota can't do it. When you don't need Das, the Shota can do it. Whereas according to the Torah, a Shota is what we call Mufka. Completely excluded from any possibility of writing a get, and therefore the Shliach cannot be any better than he is. To give a constructive example, says the Stipler, let's look in the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in Masechet Kiddushin on Daf Yutes with respect to a Katan. As we shall be seeing today, Katan and Shota are somewhat comparable. A Katan, as we know, ain't Maisa Katan Klum. But what happens if you have a Maisa which does not require Das? Specifically, a Maisa Yibum. Yibum the Gemara does not require Das. So if a Katan is Miyabim, so what's the status on the level of Daraisa? Obviously, he's more than 9 years old. His Bia is a Bia. But he has no Das al Pidin. Is his Yibum good Midaraisa or is it not good Midaraisa? Machlokas Rashi and Tosis and Kiddushin on Daf Yutes. According to Rashi, you're kona midoraisa because you don't need das. And according to Tosis, doesn't I only das? Ain maisa katan klum. Now, in proving this, the Stipler quotes a Yerushalmi discussing a case of get liachar zman. Now, liachar zman. Does not require anything on the part of the Baal. Only one thing, the get is chal then. Not a time of ksiva, and it's only a time of chalos. And the Shami seems to compare such a case where the person became a shota, b'shas chalos get the achazman, to a case that we're discussing here in our sugya. So that comparison seems to prove the Stipler's point, that according to the opinion that it's completely mufka from the chalos gerishin, so therefore it's no good. Doesn't help that you have a shliach doing it for you. You take a case of where it's happening by itself, still no good. Here it's presumably also no good. The fact that the Rishami seems to conclude that in fact it would be no good, all the Rambam do with that, so the Pashas Rambam is going to paskin against the Rishami, at least that part of the Rishami. Rambam is going to paskin that in the chalos liach hazman, presumably, certain level of daraisa, it would be good. This is therefore a second pshat in the Rambam, not the Pri Chodesh, but rather the pshat of the Kiddush Yaakov. Not that the shliach is bimkom abal and completely, but rather that since the Baal already expressed himself when he pointed the shliach, and now it's an autopilot, so the fact that he's a shota is of no consequence, as Rashi said with respect to a Yibum Ayadei Katan, and as we would presumably hold the case of the Yerushalmi, if Yerama would be good in that kind of a case. Because only as a Chasaron and Das, he already expressed his Das. That's how the Stipler says a bit differently than the Pri Chodesh's classical interpretation. Okay. The way we said now, Rama's passing something against Yerushalmi. Okay, wouldn't be the first time. Okay. Is there any other chat within Shitas HaRambam? Then the Machlokas Rambam and the Tur. So we had another interpretation. And that is, go back to the example of Katan. A katan cannot have a shliach. Why? because the katan is mufka completely, or the katan cannot appoint a shliach. Now, kamina might be if it's sort of an automatic appointment. This is quote a pshat from Rabbi Shmuel Rozovsky, we have suggested. Rabbi Kiveger said, the chesaron is only chesaron in the minui. Here the minui was already. But as his son, Rabbi Shloimeh, argued with him and says, no, even if you don't require a minui, it's one of those automatic cases, maybe zochin, things of this nature, it would still be no good. Is mufka completely. This is again a little bit along. These three pshatim are completely different from one another, but there's slightly different nuances which could have certain nafkaminas. It is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Tur, whether again, if a person becomes incapacitated, the shliach goes on and does what he has to do, would that be considered batel midoraisa, or would it only be posel midirabbanan? But this leads to a much more fundamental question, and that is the question with which we began. What's the halachic status of a get written while the husband is incapacitated at various times? So between the ksiv and the sina, Tos went that far, maybe. Maybe Tos says never meant it. If he meant it, we had the Rashash's interpretation of dichui, a suggestion of ksiv and the sina, along the lines of psul mechubar. But let's again focus on the ksiva and the nesina as individual times. Now let's begin. So the Rosh is quite clear. If you turn just to the Rosh at the beginning of the seventh, well, it's really by the Rosh, it's the sixth Perek, Perek Mish'achza. Let's see inside for a minute. So the Yifal Rav Yochanan says the Rosh, Tzorach Lizor B'Shchiv Merash Et Tzivir Liten Get Shtei Datam Yushevas Olav V'Av B'Shas Ksiva. What do you mean V'Av B'Shas Ksiva? V'Av B'Shas Ksiva. So the two ways to explain Afishas Ksiva means not only the Nesina, but also the Ksiva, or not only the Minui, but also the Ksiva. So at first glance, the second interpretation is counterintuitive. Not only the Minui, but also the Ksiva, but implying not the Nesina. Why is this counterintuitive? We think the main point is the Nesina. Nesina is exactly the time that the get takes effect. The Ksiva is a prep. So we would have thought that the Nesina is even more important than the Ksiva. However, we shouldn't say it's an impossibility. We found in the Rashba that the Rashba suggested, based upon the Tosis, and the Tosis we said maybe the Tosis is a Rosh, that a Shota B'Shas Ksiva is no good. But a shota b'shas nesina perhaps is good. And again, we goes back to the original question. How can that be? Obviously, it's not going to the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is you need the chalos, and the chalos, of course, is the moment of the nesina. So how does one explain this? So, we had a number of interesting ideas over here. My favorite idea, which I thought about my own, and I was Baruch Shekivanti, I found later, in Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, went as follows. Maybe the Pri Chodesh is right, in principle, that whenever there's a Shliach, the Shliach can stand in my stead. And if he does something on my behalf, the Raisa for sure, maybe even the Rabbanan in certain cases, it takes effect. However, when it comes to Ksiva, we find ourselves in an interesting predicament. Does Ksiva require Shlichas or does it not require Shlichas? We spent a long time on this back in the second parak. So let's assume for the moment that Ksiva does not require Shlichas. Oh,
If Ksiv does not require shlichus, then maybe it should be even easier for the get to be chal while the baal is in a situation of shtus. Paradoxically, it's the other way around. If shlichus would be required, then the pre-chodesh svar applies. The shlich stands bimkom habal. However, if shlichus is not required, what do you need? You can't just write a get without any on your own without the husband telling you. You need something which is called tzivui. That's what we spoke about at length in the second parak. You need a tzivui habal to create lishma. Tzivui habal is something which is much more tenuous, almost amorphous. It does not work with the klolim of shlich. And therefore, we suggest back in the second parak, if someone's not bar shlichus, would be good, at least midaraisa. So because there's no firm shlichus required, not only is shlichus not required, but we use an expression, it's ksivas aget is not nitfas in shlichus. You can say, I hereby appoint you as a shliach for ksivas aget. Very nice, you made an appointment, but we reduce that to what's bare bones. And the bare bones is tzivui. And therefore, since it's only tzivui, we cannot say that this sofer whom I appointed is in my stead and my place. Doesn't work. As opposed to a case of nesina, which certainly requires that the baal do it or his shliach does it. There's no question about that. So the only way that the person gives over the get and the shliach halacha, remember back to that base, is only if he's in effect standing in the place of the husband. That's why he can make another shliach, we saw. And for this reason, since the shliach with the nesina is bimkom habaal, go back to the pre-chodesh of svara. This would be a remarkable idea to explain that shitas ha-tosis quoted by the Rashba, and that's maybe pshat in the Rosh as well, that if they became a shote b'shas nesina, it's good midaraisa. That's the moment of the chalos, presumably against that Yerushalmi. Whether if it's a shote b'shas ksiva, then it's no good midaraisa. Ksiva is only a prep. It's only a prep, but it's an indispensable prep. And it does not require shlichas. It's not nitfas in shlichas. The svar of the pre-chodesh cannot apply. And therefore, it's no good midaraisa. This is a suggestion that we made to explain this remarkable shita. I think that's the best pshat. Just to add another pshat, because we saw it originally, the Imre Moshe is a pshat. He has a whole siman on this. He has the following suggestion. He says like this, when does a shliach become a shliach? Sounds like a very strange question. The minute you appoint him as a shliach, not so simple. A shliach lo'olacha, it's true. The minute you appoint him, he becomes a shliach. V'horai, he can make a second shliach. However, a shliach to write the get, even if for the argument's sake, you would need a shliach. Nonetheless, he cannot appoint a second shliach. It's mili. That indicates, Rabbi Osai, at least to Nimre Moshe, that the full status of shlichus is not accorded to this individual until he fulfills the shlichus. At that moment in time. This is a remarkable idea. Once the shlichus is chal, the shlichus lasts forever, even if the baal is incapacitated. That's if they get, if he's a shlich leholoch, for the nesina. Shlichus is chal right away. But writing is different. Writing is mili. The shame, full shlem shlucho kamos is not effective until he actually writes it. And what about the Yerushalmi? The Rashba, when he quoted Tosis against the Yerushalmi, what Tosis is quoted as saying that the fact is it showed the Bishas Hanesina. Doesn't matter. What do you mean? The Yerushalmi says it matters even if he's a Shota at the moment of the Chalos, which the Chora is less than the Nesina. The answer is no. He has to be a bar hachi at the moment of the chalos. Either the chalos of shlucha kamoso at the time of the ksiva, or the chalos of the gerishin by get lachazman, when there's no shliach. But if there is a shliach on the nesina, and the shliach is chal immediately, then it's not a problem
even if it becomes a shota subsequently. So it's a bit of a different nuance. Again, same pshat in this unique shita, which is shita harashba b'shem tos, which we at the end of the day thought that's probably pshat in the rush. And when the rush said, you have to be of sound mind, even b'shas ksiv, not the way we originally thought, not only the nesina, but also the ksiv, which is how some interpret. No, not only the minui, but also the ksiva, but the nesina perhaps not. Okay, so this is the initial topic I wanted to discuss, the question of the Mishnah and how things work out. There's one point which you didn't get a chance to talk about yet, and that is, there are those who ask the other way around. Assuming that Ksiva Seges does not require Shlichus, which seems to be a very significant opinion amongst the Rishonim. So, what is the problem? So the man became a Kodaikis before the Ksiva. Who cares? Ksiva doesn't require Shlichus. Why can't the husband's original appointment work? Let the sofa write it right now. So we had this nuance from which we sat on our own, we quoted from Shmuel Rozovsky, that it requires a tzivoy, and a tzivoy is requires a person be still of sane mind, so his tzivoy should be fulfilled. But there are others who don't go with that approach. And they ask the question, what's the problem? What's the problem? So El Tazeda Pnei Yeshua had his own drusha. His drusha was that you have to be Roy Linesina at the moment of the Ksiva. And since the Baal was not Roy Linesina, why not? Because he's a Shota, and a Shota cannot have his himself or a Shtir give a get, as we assumed earlier, against that Rash Baba Shem Tosfos. So too, if the get is written at that moment in time, it's also considered to be invalid. Invalid. So the Achronim ask against the Pnei Yeshua, well, you became a Tana. Make up your own drushes. We were bothered by that. I found the Achiezer asked that question. Since when are you making up your own drushes? Not going to be. Okay, but then the question again returns. For those who don't accept Opshot, what's the story? What's the problem over here? So there's a very interesting answer in the Achiezer, which I just want to share with you. The Achiezer says, if he's not roy for Nesina, it's a chasar in the Shema. He quotes the Rambam in Perek Gimel Lachavav to prove it. I'm leaving out the proof for the moment. And now he explains so beautifully, that's why I want to tell you this chat, the Machlokos in Rish Lakash and Rav Yochanan, and why Sami B'Yodan plays a role. For us, we haven't explained it yet. What's Sami B'Yodan? So the Achiezer explains that Rish Lakash and Sami B'Yodan makes him roy to the Shema. Why? Roy for Nesina. Because you can take your proper meat and wine and you get all better. And therefore, in a case where the husband told the guy write the get, and he writes the get, so we don't say that it's no good because it's not royal in a scene. It is royal in a scene. Just take some meat and wine. That's royal in a scene. He goes a little bit further than that, as makes the following suggestion. Perhaps, suggests again Reb Chaim Eisen, that the Pshat is referring to a case we appointed for the Ksiva. Appointed for the Ksiva. Appointed for the Ksiva, that's the mission. He says, Kisvu. Told him Kisvu. So when it comes to the Nishtat, they cannot write it. Not royal in the Sina. If it's Shaita, not royal in the Sina for sure not. By Kodayas the Machlokos, Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish can send it to Roy, Esame B'Yodan. Rav Yochanan says, no. However, it's possible to suggest. And the Ket told him, Kisvu Utnu. If he told them both, it's arguable again. Even in the case of Shota, it's royal in the Sina on the part of the Shliach. Because he's already Bimkom Abal. And therefore, it's possible, according to Rish Lakish, it would be good even by a Shota. And according to Yochanan, it would only be possible by the Rabbanan. This explains why the Rambam didn't say the din that if it's shot, it's bottom of the rice. The whole machlok is by kudaikus. You should have said by shot, it's certainly bottom of the rice. Could be it's not bottom of the rice if you said kisru tenu. Torah's kin has a similar svar. That if it's kisru tenu, then it's royal in the sina through a shliach. I can't spend more time on this one topic, so we have to leave it. But this is a first major topic we spoke about at the beginning. But now comes an even more major topic, as it's hard to believe. And that is the definition, Rabosai, of someone who's incapacitated. Let me give you the yisod first, and we can fill in all the major, major details. And that is, there are tzvei dinim. You see right from the Mishnah itself, there are tzvei dinim. One is the din of somebody who will call it a psul gavra, a chesaron in the gavra, the personage is excluded. And one is what we'll call a psul maisa. He doesn't know what he's doing, he lacks the level of intelligence necessary to do something. Let's go back to Yoshein, right? Yoshein, right? A Yoshein is clearly no chesaron in the gavra. Well, we'd have chesaronis for the 6 hours, we hope, of sleep that we sometimes get. So we would have a chesaron in us. What did a shaita chas v'shal? But what if someone? And the sukkah talks about it. Someone. I gave my example. Is sleep talking or sleepwalking? Right, and he walks around in the house and says, "Write a get for my wife." Why is it asleep? So that's totally nothing. Doesn't know what he's saying. He's asleep. He's talking to sleep. It's nothing with nothing. Otherwise, according to Tosa Shita, what? That if you can't give a get, if there's an interruption between the ksiva and the sina, if you fall asleep, it's also no good. It's clearly, if someone is falling asleep, there's no chesaron in gavra whatsoever. But it's a chesaron in his ability to express things. Rabbi Chanan has this in a number of places. It's very important, Yisod, in Kovat to Arts. Sveidin. The proof is from the Gemara of Kudaikis. Right? What does it say in the Gemara? Rish Lakish is a Kudaikis like a Yoshein. Yet, the Mishnah says, or Kudaikis says, right again, Lo Maklum, Rish Lakish agrees to that. Not a psul gavra, it's a chesaron in his understanding. So if it's later on a chesaron, it's no problem. If it's a chesaron b'shas minui, of course it's a problem. So this yisod is the major yisod we have to develop. And Rabbi Chana goes further and says, the same is true not only of a shota here in our sugya, but it's also true of a kata. Kata. There could be a kata who's a bardas. He's intelligent, but he's under the age of 13. So das he has. But it's a gzeres hakosav, or halacha l'moshe misinai, that someone who's a katan has no das al pi din. As a matter of fact, to jump ahead a little bit, we had a diuk based on the Rashi earlier in the Masechta, which we think is a very important diuk. We have this concept of chere shota v'katan. Always seem to be found together throughout Shas. The top Rashi in Heyam and Aleph says he is so lavenei de'aninu, and they cannot make a shliach legarish. Why? Kiddush membeis ein kot nasa shliach a pasuk. For who adin lahanach? So that cheresh and shota are derived from kota. What does it mean? It's a category, official halacha category of an individual who's considered al pidin to have no das. Obviously, it starts off with an assumption that generally speaking, a cherish and a shot and a cotton have no das. Otherwise, how do you know to derive cherish and shot from cotton? Could be it's halacha l'moshe misina, it could be it's even a svara. Rashi doesn't explain to us how. But generally speaking, they don't have sufficient das. So you'll find me a case where he has das, so there's no chesaron in his maisa. But it's a chesaron al pidin, the chesaron in the gavra.
two totally different dinim. Okay. Now, there are individuals who have no such chesaron. We said before, yashim, there's no chesaron in the gavra. I will say that an ilaim who is a shomea veina medaber, is no psul in gavra. Sure, there are bedikas later on in the sugya. How do we know what he's talking about? That's ascertained that in point of fact, he has the requisite degree of das. Sure, that's critical. That's critical. The Mishnah is in Samach Zayin. The Shtatik Vamalo Lichtov Get Lishtachav Yehirka Barosho. Both can also Shlosh Pomim. Not there's a problem in his Gavra. The problem is to make sure he knows what he's talking about. He's not speaking to us. You have to know what he's saying, Rabosai. Very important to know what he's saying. This is very, very important. So now, having said all this, let us now analyze, as we go, all of these potential gavras, if you will, and see what kind of status they in fact have. So Kedaik, as we spoke a little bit about, right? According to Rish Lakish, it's like a Yoshin is no chesaron gavra. According to Yochas, it's a chesaron gavra. Yoshin for sure is no chesaron gavra. Elaim for sure is no chesaron gavra. But Cheir, Shota v'Katan, presumably there is a chesaron in the gavra. And therefore, Cheresh, Bipshuto, if you look on the Gemara, of Ayin Aleph Omud Aleph. Ayin Aleph Omud Aleph discusses the Cheresh, Sheyochol Ledaber Mitoch HaKsav. What's the Machlokas HaTanoim? What's the Machlokas HaTanoim? So we quote a Pshat from Zalman Nechemi Goldberg, that everyone agrees that a Cheresh who cannot hear or speak is considered Al Pidin to be in the category of a Shota. No matter how intelligent, you may have gone to the school in Vienna that the Rashash speaks about, makes no difference. It's a chesaron al pi din. The question, of course, becomes, how do you define speak? So according to one Tana, speak means with your vocal cords like as everyone else speaks. And according to another Tana, no. Speak means to communicate. If you communicate in writing, that's also communication. So therefore, you're not labeled as a cheresh. Take a look in Tosfos Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rav Kana says, Yochel Ledaber Mitoch HaKsav. The person can if you will, communicate with Ksav. Im Kein Dibur Ma'al Yehu, V'yesh L'chol Shva HaGoda. So Mr. Svar makes sense? Ella Maila to work for ages too? No. Exeris akosav al pi. Mi pia velomi piksavim. That's a limited exeris akosav to ages. Now, the Gemara does make a distinction between someone who is once not a cheresh and became a cheresh. It's called a cheresh mei karo. More talks about it, the last Tosfos on the daf. Tanoi talks about it a little bit. So, the very important question, how do we paskin over here? Let's take a case of a person who's completely healthy, but instead of speaking to the sofer, he writes to the sofer. We saw Big Machlok spoke a lot of time about it a few months ago, back on the end of the first Zman. We have suggested something quite radical, that according to the Shulchan Aruch himself, who quotes an opinion that says that in the case of an individual who is healthy, if he commissions the sofer b'ksav, yesh om, that it's good. It's arguable, at least, that somebody who is unable to speak or hear, but is able to write, that perhaps that get might also be good. It's not inconceivable, because the writing is considered a form of communication. However, the simple pshat is we don't pask in that way. You have to be able to communicate with your mouth. Otherwise, you consider it to be a cheresh al pidin. And that's the sad fact, therefore, is no matter how bright you are, the pashut pshat is you have a status of a cheresh. Either, as I said to you before, cheresh and shot are derived from cotton visvara, because the category traditionally is not a sufficient das, an exception won't matter. Or call it halachal moshe misinai. Take your pick. There were those who wished to suggest differently based upon a Rambam and a Bar Tanura at the very beginning of Masechta Trumas, where they say that why do we call an eino shomea v'eino medaber cheresh? He's lacking two faculties. So they explain, it's a sort of a medical explanation, that his inability to speak is based upon his inability to hear. So we learn by copying. He can't hear, he can't speak. And the Bar Tanura goes on and says, Nolad cheresh mimei imo. He was born, unfortunately, unable to hear, and therefore he cannot speak. This leads some to a conclusion that someone who was had faculties and lost the faculties is considered to be a pikeach apidin, and therefore it's purely a matter of intelligence. So today, even if he was born without hearing or speaking, if he went to the school in Vienna or New York, he would be considered to be a pikeach. Seems to me this is an unjustified conclusion. Again, Tiferes Yisroel, no less an authority, learned Pshat and the Bar Tanura that way. In my view, the Bar Tanura agrees. Rambam agrees. No one really disagrees. That's just a reality. Fine. Even Shote Rabosai may have certain strict halachic parameters. There's one opinion, which is quoted by the Mordechai. If you take a look in the back, in Siman Tuf Chof Aleph. Yes, I'm just showing only very briefly some of the sources. A little bit of a flavor. Remember a little bit. So there you'll find an opinion that maintains that the definition of a shote, la halacha, is quite limited. Limited to a case of an individual who has a simonim which are found in the Gemara and Masechta Chagiga. Certain specific simonim which are found. If you don't have those specific simonim, you are not labeled la halacha as a shoteh. And this, of course, would have tremendous, tremendous nafkaminas. Only if you have those particular symptoms. Doesn't make sense to us. These are just three examples. Most poskim say these are three examples. Either three examples. They quote from Reb Chaim. Each one means a different kind of a shota, or it's just trying to give you an understanding of the level of severity of incompetence that's required to be considered to be in the category of a shota. Not that you need these three bedavka. It's at the very beginning of this tshuva. It's on Avigdor HaKohen. It's called Avigdor Katz. There it says, Im lohuchzak shota, the fourth line in our print, where it's after Odia. B'dvar ma'amurim perkam adachagiga, heret kepikeach, sacha pili plom dekashita. No, Avigdor is on the, come on, Avigdor wasn't born yesterday. He knows that there are all kinds of different shtusen in the world, if we use that expression. But they're not shtusen al pidin to disqualify the gavra. It would be chasaron in his das whenever the chasaron in das is relevant. But it's not a chasaron in gavra, contra b'vig, unless it's one of those three specific ones. Maybe it's a kind of a halacha l'moshe misinai.
This opinion is quoted in the Poskim over here in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph as well. The Rambam does not agree at these three Adafka. The Rambam includes other things, and he goes even further than that. In Hilchos Eidus, Rabbi Osai, the Rambam says the Shota L'Dovim and Advarim is possibly Eidus like a Shota. Now why should that be so? Just because he's mixed up in one thing? So Rabbi Moshe has a tshuva, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Chaf, he says no. Why did the Rambam quote it only in Hilchos Eidus, not in Hilchos Mechira, not in Hilchos Gerishin? It's a different word, it's Rabbi Moshe. Because he's missing in some area, so in that area he would not be chayav in any mitzvahs which would be relevant to that area. And mitzvahs come as a package deal. So he's potter mikola mitzvahs, and therefore he's posel yedus. As the Rambam explains, explicitly, that's the reason. Because if you're not chayav in mitzvahs, the low sana doesn't mean much to you, and therefore you can suspect it of not telling the truth. Therefore, in his particular case, Rav Moshe's case, someone thought it was a Mashiach, and he would try to fight to get the Yomer, then he took a Sefer Torah, and he ran away, and he climbed on the trees, and he walked down naked like Adam HaRishon before the Chet. Otherwise, it's perfectly normal. You know, everyone's entitled to a few Mashiachs, right? So Rav Moshe says, that's the Rambam's case. He's Taka Potem and Amitzvahs, but he can write again. Because I said, Rav Moshe, I talked to him, he's perfectly understanding, he understands, he has a wife, he has to divorce his wife, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, understands perfectly. This is the nub of the famous cleaver get. The other fellow didn't think it was Mashiach, he thought they're running after him. So on Shabbos, after his wedding, he took the nadan from his wife from the drawer, ran away to some farm, and then they found him there, and they made him give a get right away, and there were those who said the get is no good, and the Rav of Mannheim, I think that's where he or she came from. I may forgot some of the details. Said the get is no good. The rabbi, and he appealed to the rabbis in Frankfurt. They said the get is no good. The rabbi of Cleve appealed to all Gedolei Yisrael, and apparently they all said the get was good for 100 different reasons. But one of the reasons might be this: the guy's called paranoid. All right, he thinks they're after him. But other than that, it's perfectly normal. So therefore, he's kosher to write a get. It's interesting. According to the Rov Poskim who argue in Rabbeinu Avigdor, the Rosh Hashanah has an interesting formulation. Because these three things are what we call simone shote, specific signs. But the more important category is what he calls tvius ayin. Obviously, he's taking it from the paradigm of Hashavas Aveda. Reb Chaim, as I said, was quoted in the footnotes on the bottom of the Choshen Mishpat Siman Lamed Hey, Os Chavtes. That one type of shtus in the Gemara means what's called Mora Shchora, melancholy. One is what's called Machlas Halavona, if we call him today a lunatic, right? Whatever that means. He suddenly gets all excited. Maybe it means some kind of a bipolar type thing, we don't know. And one is someone who's Shvach, his mind is weak. As I said to you before, the Noda Behuda, my Rick say no, it's just a matter of the level of how much of a shaita he really is. This leads us to our final discussion in this very, very important area, which is how do we define an individual who is, in fact, lacking in intelligence. He's lacking in intelligence. He doesn't do any of the crazy things that the Gemara describes. He doesn't rip his clothes. He doesn't sleep in cemeteries. He's just lacking. So the word in Hebrew, manu, is called mifager, slow. So this presumably has the status of a pesi. A pesi is someone who's slow, a simpleton. But yeah, we're all sort of simple. Shema Psalm Hashem includes you and me. But I mean, he's really simple. Pesi biyose. Now, it's true that Chasam Sofer, to be honest, considers this person to be like a cheresh. I believe Rav Shecht has used that expression in the past as well. But the way we suggested it can't be. Because a cheresh, we said, is a psul gavra.
what the svara, as Rashi Haman Alf on top says, derived from Katan, or Allah should be seen as Abzam and the Chemer suggests. But a Pesi is not a Psul Gavra. Just with respect to this, he doesn't understand. He can't achieve it. He can't accomplish it. How slow must you be? So many poskim say, it goes back right to the Rishonim, that if you have the Das Kipu'utos, then you're considered a Ben Das L'chol Dover. Rav Yoh, of course, Rabbeinu Simcha to that effect. How can that be? So again, Rabbi Chana to the rescue. The same Rabbi Chana, the same Yesod. The same Yesod, he says, at the very beginning of this discussion, comes up again. Same Mechaber. Talks about it in a number of different places. In Simen Chav Tes, in Simen Samach Vov. Bechonin says, like, we have a klal and a mishnah, Rabbi Osai. We can turn back to the mishnah a little bit to see where the word of pu'utos is actually found. It's in the sugya over here on Daf Samach Hey Amud Aleph. Ha pu'utos mikchon mekach umimkoron memkar b'metaltalin. Okay? Goes back to the mishnah on Daf Nun Tes Amar Aleph that Rashi references. And the Mishnah of Nun Tes Amar Aleph that Mishnah is cited. It's clearly a Din Derabbanan. Din Derabbanan. With the rice, it's no good. Why not? Why with the rice is no good? He's a smart fellow. There's a whole discussion how old he has to be. How old must be this putos? Some say 6, 7, some say 8, some say 10. Kolchad lefum churfe. We said the average is an 8-year-old. Some say 6, 8, some say 10. So the average intelligence of an 8-year-old we had suggested. Once the boy is 8, he has a measure of intelligence. Not that great, but a measure of intelligence. Remember, Abosai, to demand an IQ of an average 13-year-old would mean that half was the bar mitzvah, not bar mitzvah. Bell curve, right? That's impossible. Has to be that even a lower age intelligence on average is going to be sufficient. So if you have that intelligence and you turn 13, and the other requisites, you're going to be considered to be a gadol. So the suggestion may be 8, approximately. We see it's a Din D'Rabbanan. Rabbi Chanan says, yes, here it's clearly a Din D'Rabbanan, no question about it. Takonas Chachamim, that putos, that their sale should be a valid sale by Metaltalim. However, the Metzius, they have Das. And it's Kain Daraisa Tikkun. If you look at the Gemara Masech the Yevam, it's Kuf Yud Gimel. Rabbi Lez has a unique view, which we don't accept halacha, that a Cheresh, there's no din of Psul Gavra at all. He denies it. He denies the Svara because he feels that there's a lot of intelligence with respect to people who are deaf mutes. Or he denies halacha l'moshe misina. And therefore he says, Trumaso is Safek. What do you mean, suffix? Depends how sharp he is, if he can figure it out. Again, once again, he denies the Psul Gavra with respect to Cheresh. We accept the Psul Gavra with respect to a Cheresh. So with respect to a katan, we assume, for example, there's no chalitza. However, Rabbi Chanan points out, against also machlokas atanoim. Please, Rabbi Yossi, shita that's good. But, the Gemara says,
that the shear is kashir aputos. That's a din d'oraisa. Because chalitza does not require a full measure of das. We spoke about it a long, long time ago, back on the Afchav Beis. So you see there's a din d'oraisa that distinguishes between a katan who is a bar das versus a non-bar das. Not lahalacha. You're not bar das lahalacha till you're 13. But b'mitzius. So apparently once you hit putos, you have a measure, a sufficient measure of intelligence. And before that, not. This is a very important yisod. So just to review, we discussed a whole series of categories of individuals, and let's just give a summation, the way we thought. Cheresh shota v'katan is a psul gavra. Doesn't matter that the cheresh or the shota or the katan know what's happening in this particular case. Once that status is conferred upon them, they're mufka, whenever you require das, apidin. There's a whole series of others who here and there we don't trust their judgment. They don't really know what they're doing. Who are these people? A Yoshein, an Elaine, a Pesi. Arguably, this is called the Rish Lakish, even a Kodaikas. So if they do something, we have to look at it with a very suspicious eye. Do they know what they're doing? If they know what they're doing, then it has validity. If not, not. Contrary to with Cheresh Shota V'Katan, where it's a Gzeres HaKasa by Katan, and you derive from there Lahalacha, Cheresh, and Shota. And again, some deny Cheresh. We saw one Tana denies Cheresh. Some restrict Shota to three specific Simonim. We adopt the broader view on both. We accept Cheresh, we accept all kinds of Shotim to be in that category. Once that category is achieved, then even if you think he knows what's happening, he went to a good school, doesn't make a difference. Al Pidin is Mufka. Okay, Rabosai, everybody with me? Very, very important stuff over here. Obviously, there are a lot of details we haven't really ironed out yet. All kinds of children who are, have certain, what they call today, developmental disabilities. So the way we said before, if they have an intelligence of an average eight-year-old is where? It's in third grade. Huh? Right? You probably know some third grader here and there. They can be pretty, third graders. They know what's going on. Right? I have some grandchildren in the third grade. Mm-hmm. I think if they run circles around me sometimes, I think. I don't know. So you have to have certain measure, but once you have that level, even though it's maybe that's too hard, maybe they're above average for 8-year-olds. I shouldn't judge. I don't know. But there's a line somewhere. It's very hard to determine these things. It comes to the halacha lemaisa, Camp Hask and Yachad and in the case of autism, very complex. As they say, those are experts in the field. Every case is unique. It's hard to give sweeping statements in this respect. But that's at least a little bit of a guideline. The cleaver get, we spent a lot of time discussing the whole fight that existed between the Chachmei Frankfurt on the one hand and all the Gedolim on the other hand. And the Chachmei Frankfurt didn't really respond too much. They felt, look, we don't have to respond. We don't have to give any reasons. We're in charge because it's our region. And no good. Years later, they discovered a manuscript with some internal memo of the Chachmei Frankfurt, and they said, come on, everybody knows this guy's a Meshuggah. Huchza ki Meshuggah. And it's Huchza ki Meshuggah, so you have a prince, you don't need any Eidus, nothing, a Chazaka. Like you have a Chazaka that someone's married, a Chazaka that someone's Huchza nida b'shchein osel, the Bezin can process, whether it be punishments or other halachic determinations based upon the Chazaka. This guy is a huchzak meshuga. So I was very upset by that statement by the Chachmei Frankfurt. Because whether someone is an Eshes Ish or someone is a Nida is a clearly defined halacha category. It's possible to talk about someone who is huchzak to be in that category. However,
If you talk about somebody who's called in Yiddish a Meshugana, that's what they say, called them, they were speaking Yiddish, German Yiddish, they're a Meshugana, that doesn't mean that he is has a category of Shota necessarily. So therefore, since this Chazaka is really not too impressive. Okay. We've also spoken a lot so far about the topic of the status of a get written when the husband is a Shota or the like, and who is considered to be a Shota or someone else who's lacking in, who has a psul gavra. Do you have any questions before I proceed? Okay. In discussing the case of a shote, we also discussed the sugya of ayin aleph amud beis, a very, very important sugya. Let's turn there for a minute. Ayin aleph amud beis. Well, the Gemara talks about nishtates, or according to one gear, it's a nishtates. We traditionally call it nishtates. She became a shot. So, Rabbi Osai, who cares if she's a shot? Right? The cause of the same kids must be other. I feel about karcha. Who cares? Who cares? What's going on over here? So, the pashtus is, as the Gemara puts it over here, Dvar Torah Shota Miskareshes. Last few lines before the Mishnah. Midi Dehavya Pikachas Bal Kocha, as we just said. Umatam Omu Einam Miskareshes. Shlo Yina Gubo Minig Hefker. Minig Hefker. That's all. Adin De Rabbanon. Adin De Rabbanon. However, we have to be very careful before jumping to a conclusion that everything is De Rabbanon. Take a look in the if you don't want in the Mordechai again, and some tough Yud Beis. I'm just giving again brief excerpts from some Rishonim. We had a Rosh, a little Mordechai, just to get a few of the original sources. We didn't see inside most of the sources we're speaking about today, but a little bit. Simon tough Yud Beis, please. And in our text, it's on page Tes Zion. So, the Mordechai at the beginning of Tav Yud Beis talks about a shota, and says, "V'shilcha mi beiso mi shemeshalcha v'ena chozeres, yotza zos shemeshalcha v'chozeres." Whoa, what does that mean? That means it's a din d'oraisa. So, there, a woman who's on a level of meshalcha v'chozeres, she doesn't get it. Husband gives her a get to do a divorce. She comes back into his bed the next day. Okay, she doesn't get it. So there's no v'shilcha mibeiso possible. That's a din d'oraisa. Din d'oraisa. What happens if somebody is megaresh shoto? So there's Yerushalmi that's quoted here by the Mordechai. In Perek Cheresh and Yevams, Nishtates lo yotzi. One day is b'sham b'nei greira, shende greiras achal kol adam v'noga b'minik hefker. And someone says, "Eini achol lishmor gita." And the three nafkaminas, ova v'gireish, ova v'gireish, neish. And if it's end of what greira, that she's going to be doing immoral acts. All right, so you shouldn't have divorced her in the first place. If you did it, she's divorced. Once it's Ein Echol Lishma Gita, which presumably means what we would call Meshalcha V'Chozeres, it's no good even with the Evet. Another difference of Pamim Shota, Pamim Chaluma, which we call Itim Itim. Whole story over here. And the Mordechai explains later on, if it's a case of minig hefker, it's only din de rabbanon, so b'diavad it's good. But ein yicholish magita pirish, ein I get de oraisa. De oraisa. So din de oraisa, because there's mishalcha v'chozeres, presumably. Okay, so this is a very important din. you open up to the Beis Shmuel, let's take a look on Siman Kuf Yud Tes, back to the very beginning of Hilchos Gittin. The opening Siman of Hilchos Gittin, should be, we take a look there a little bit. Okay, we haven't seen much Shulchan Aruch so far. We saw a little bit of Chalkas Mechokek on the other sugya. Now we'll see the Beis Shmuel here. We had a Rebbe Kivega trying to just be Mekatzer. So the Beis Shmuel and Kuf Yud Tes Siv Kod Yud gives a summary. In any chol lishmor gita medarais and begureshes. Kuf Yud Tes and Beis Shmuel Siv Kod Yud. But if yachol lishmor gita and any yachol lishmor atzma, she knows what divorce is, but she doesn't. She can't keep herself protected from all the various predators. Medarais and begureshes. Chazal tiknu al yigarish also because of min of hefker. So he calls the Rambam, Al-Mom alo tiknu chazal, kevin shemuchon nusalak as shaloy alohu onos betakonos chazal, so potem mikol chiyuvei mama. So let's talk about the monetary ramifications of these kinds of situations, which are of course very, very important. The Ramah disagrees with this Rambam and says, even in the case where the Isur Gerishin is with the Rabbanon, nonetheless, you still have to pay for all her monetary needs. So Yeshav and the Ramah again in Siman Kuf Yud Tes, Sivo. It's a machlokes. Mechaber Ramah. In this very same Ramah, some other very important in it. Rabbeinu Gershom Hechrim Shlo Legaresh Isha Shalomi Daita. You're not allowed to divorce a woman Shalomi Daita. Before Rabbeinu Gershom came along, you could. You divorce her against the woman. What do you have to give her? Of course, you have to give her a ksuba. It's the whole point of a ksuba. Shlo tekala benev lo tzia. So there are more right of nuchos ksubas, we mentioned it. Today, ksuba is not so critical. Because today, you cannot divorce her against her will. And logically, we should be like an own. Someone who's honest, a woman, you don't even need ksuba at all. But lo nogu came. But in the back of your pocket, you have that kula and sveikas and a ksuba. But what if I can't pay her the ksuba? A man is allowed to divorce his wife, he cannot pay her the ksuba. She'll say, no, I'm not taking the get till you pay me up the ksuba. So the Ramah writes, Afilu eino l'shalem l'ksubasa d'yosa eino yecholo l'akev m'shemzeh agerish. And tizgarish, v'tit v'olso mashal chayev lo. Too bad. Again, before I met a gersha, you're divorced. It's your problem to go collect the money from the husband in Beis Din. Fine. Comes the Beis Shmuel here in Sivkotin Vav. Some seem to disagree with the Ramah. The Beis Shmuel tries to make some shalom over here. HaRamah Ayrik Shiyochel Lagarash Al Piyadin Sonei Osa V'zivik Sheni. So you can divorce without the ksuba. You pay the ksuba's outstanding debt. Maybe the Rashi would agree to that. He's talking in case of Eino Royal Ligarish. Eino Royal Ligarish. You have no ksuba to boot. You have no right to give a get. And even Zivik Sheni, Im Ein Soneo Sa, is Ein Royal Ligarish. So you have no right to do it if you have no ksuba. And the Rosh writes, I'm just quoting from the Beis Shmuel, Kuf Yud Tes Vav, as the Ramah did, even after Rabbeinu Gershom, Yochol Legaresh, Kashi Balas Nichfe,
Unfortunately, she has seizures. She bazel a tikkun rabbeinu gersha. Afilu eino l'salag haksuba. Shema mina. Hecha de rashar l'garish. Eino yichol l'akab bishol piron haksuba. Chei posuk ha-rivash. So the two kinds of divorces, when he has a right to divorce, when he does not have a right to divorce. If he has a right to divorce her, then he can divorce even though he has no money for the ksuba. If he has no right to divorce, he shouldn't be divorcing her at all. But if he, again, this is before Rabbeinu Geshem, he divorced, so he has to pay the ksuba. He can, no ksuba, no divorce. So what's the Beis Shmuel over here in Siman Kuf Yutes, Sivkotin Vov? And this leads to a discussion when the Beis Shmuel says, look, give the get now and ask for the money later on. So you see the possibility exists, Rabbi Osai. Get now and ask for money later on. Either Ramo himself wrote in Seder Aget, we should try to avoid those situations. Why? We're afraid there'll be a fight about the money. And the husband will start spreading rumors, casting aspersions on the get. If I would have known that I would turn out so bad in the money, I never would have divorced her in the first place. So you see from here, that's a chumah lechatchila. But in a pinch, it's really going to be okay. There are balls in Seder I get in the back of Kufnun Dalet, Siv Pei Aleph. And Rav Moshe, we said a few tshuvas, which you should have it somewhere in your file. I think these were copied. Actually, I'm quite sure. Rav Moshe, sure, I know. This is a case of the Agmas Nefesh. Rav Moshe wanted to say that once a person is divorced, the assumption is that there's no more monetary claims one on the other. Because if there would be, there's this old problem of the possibility someone's going to say the get's no good. So therefore he says, if a person comes to Bezin after a get was already given, so that she'll say he owes me money, we throw her out. You better be quiet. Shtigusayich offered me the barayach in some cases. He pointed out that although that's true in certain times and places, but nowadays we are much more liberal because we're afraid of agunas in the other direction. We do write kitten even before the monetary situations are taken care of. However, it's advisable in that case. Here, Rabbi Moshe's Talmid have done the same thing. I've been involved with them to have a shtore biruin written in advance. That the shtore biruin should say, okay, they're going to go to Bezin A, B, or C to resolve the monetary disputes. And once that's squared away, then the guy's not going to say, "Oh, I didn't realize it." But you did too realize. You put your hands in the hand. You put yourself in the hands of the Bezdin. That's what should be done in these kinds of circumstances. Fine. Now, let's say a person divorced a wife against her will, contra to the Cher Rabbeinu Gershom. The lengthy Beis Shmuel, here in Siman Kuf Yutes, Siv Katan Vov, quite lengthy. Well, the question becomes, is it good b'di'evet or not? The no that Yehuda says no. No good b'di'evet, and shlicha dvar aveira. And the shlicha says even botel. Very long sugya, not for this minute. And many others argue with the no Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Sivkot and Vav and Pischei Tshuva. The Pischei Tshuva Zayin says that if Rabbeinu Gershom Sakana, because of Beis Shmuel Yud Beis, im Cher Rabbeinu Gershom Daimel Takonas Chazal, Yesh Lomar Bezman Hazeh, Afilum Ova Vigirish Eina Begureshes. But it's against the Ramah, because the Ramah wrote as follows, right over here in this vein, same Sif, Kuf Yutes Vav. The Ramah writes, Ovar Vigirsha Balkorcha Bezman Hazeh V'Niseis, Shuv Eino Ish Nikravarin. What do you see clear? That she can be Niseis, that she has the right to remarry. Not that it's no good, even B'di'evet. It's enough for the Ramah. So it appears. If you look carefully in this, again, another minute, In the Pesach Tshuva here, in Siman Kuf Yutes, Sivkot and Zayin, it's quite, again, also quite lengthy. We're not going to see the entire Pesach Tshuva. The Beis Shmuel compares Takanas of Enegashim L'masha also the garish specific vision below Dover. That's the Gemara we haven't really learned that Gemara yet. That's the next Gemara we're going to learn. The Tzadi, the last Amar in the Masechta. Even before Ben Gershom, you have no right to divorce a woman against her will for no good reason. Except Ben Gershom made it to a Cherem. He made it more formal. And in the Zivig Rishon, if Ova Vigirish Megureshes, they offer the Gemara, and after Skitten Tzadi Amad Beis, the Beis Shmuel calls him Sivkot and Beis. So to today, after Ben Gershom, he quotes that B'dieved, the get is a valid get. Fine. So he quotes here from various poskim, but want to say the complicated again, Kuf Yutes, Sivkot and Zion, a rather lengthy piece here as well. Some want to be machmer more. Fine. There are more ads. Some say the Mokom Mitzvah. Yochol legarish ishto bal koch. Oh, matir lalisa shtei noshim. Either you divorce your first wife against the will, or you can take two wives. What does b'mokom mitzvah mean, for example? Huh? What's mitzvah? What? Presumably puruvu, pashup shat, the first mitzvah in the Torah. Here, the Chelkos Mechokin introduces a concept, gentlemen, a very important concept. En lahat elisa yisha alishto im lo abas kamas meir abonim. Ksharishona eino bas gerishin. Unfortunately, he's been in an institution. Osha mitzvah legarsha veina rotsa lakshakabal. Get what I mean, a mitzvah legarsha? Maybe she was immoral, unfaithful, or some other reason. So he has a concept of het meir abonim. It's become an infamous word in some of today's circles for good reason. But it does exist. It's on the books. We had a case very recently of a nishtates. The woman was unfortunately in a permanent vegetative state of the like. We were matter the man to take a second wife. Implication of the Chelkos Mechokek, is it not permitted to marry a second wife without 100 rabbonim? What about divorcing a woman against her will? Is that a better or is that a worse option? So some suggest it's a better option. Why? Because divorcing a wife against her will is a one-time offense. Done is done. As opposed to a case of Cherem and Gershom, which is an ongoing offense. However, it's possible that even the case of divorcing against the will is also a permanent offense. Why? Because he had no right to divorce her in the first place. And they quote the phrase just found in the Gemara with respect to a case of ones. Kol yomov ba'amod v'hachzer koi. Supposed to remarry her. These are sad cases. We spoke about many details. How long you have to wait till to see if the woman is fit to receive a get, not fit to receive a get. We put a get in escrow. The question is, I get really a kosher get or not a kosher get? Why might it not be kosher? Because right now it cannot be delivered. Because she's not, unfortunately, able to do so. So maybe if you cannot deliver at this moment, you cannot appoint the shliach to write it and to deliver it. So we put a get in escrow, but we always write also in case she's ever going to come out of an unlikely event of her difficult state. that the husband promises, swears, he's going to write a new get. Shouldn't have any suffix getting floating around. And it's an interesting question, Rabbi Osai. What will happen, it's a sad question. A sad question. What will happen, and we also, he has to put a ksuba in escrow. What will happen if she was unfaithful to her husband? What happens in that kind of a case? So the Pischet Shuvah back in Siman Aleph, he did a lot of Pischet Shuvahs, Rabbi Osai, back in Siman Aleph. This is what I'm referring to now, Sifkot and Chav Beis. If we know she was Mezana, there's no Cher Abed Geshem. Why? You don't have two wives. What kind of two wives? Your first wife is not a wife anymore for you. She forfeited her status as a wife. Asura la bala la bal. Nonetheless, despite that, we still require Lemaisa, I had to marry Rabbonim. But this leads us to another remarkable possibility called a get zikui. What's a get zikui? We write a get for this woman and we'll give it to a shliach the Kabbalah to accept it on her behalf. Shliach le Kabbalah is something we try very hard not to do because we're afraid of the problems with the harsha, all kinds of problems. But here it's a different kind of a shliach le Kabbalah. He's not that she appointed it, but we assume that it's good for her to be divorced. Otherwise, she's in constant and repeated violation of Asaras Adibris, Lo Sinov. So it's good for her. So we write a get zikui. This is done in many, but they did, and unfortunately, it happens more than once. Some say, Ramon Simon Kuf Mem Sifhei suggests that this Get Ziki won't work. Why? We want to go into too much in detail, but just a minute. And some of you may have the Shulchan Aruch, you can look inside if you wish. Kuf Mem Sifhei. Imbala Meshumad Viadina and Shimoret Mahadera Sachaget Yesh Omim Da Meshumad Yochel Zakas Lo Aget Yesh Machmir. This is Simon Kuf Mem Siv Hey. Vuadin Isha Neseras Al Baila Mizaka Lo Get Ayde Acher Viesh Machmirim Bezeh. Why Machmirim? It's good for to be divorced. Saving yourself Averis of Aseras Adibris. So they quote a riff. The riff at the end of the first perek says, even if it's a schus, eina mugeresh that shemagia get liyada. And the whole fact that it's a schus only helps that she cannot, the husband cannot back out. But the actual gerushin is only later on. That's the opinion of the riff, and we're worried about the riff. We're only worried about the riff's opinion before giving up her permission to remarry. Because you're talking about very high stakes of Mamzeris and who knows what, Aseres Adibris. But as far as the man is concerned, that's what the Beis Shmuel over here. Then we rely on the Shita's Rova Poskim against the Rif, that the divorce has already happened and he can take a second wife. Some say we go as far as to say, this is going to be found in the Otzer Poskim, Siman Aleph, that will in effect force a man to give a get zikui. And some say we give the get zikui even over her explicit protest. How can that be? Well, some say it's chus gomer, the Rashi Mekidush and Chav Gimel, some say, doesn't matter what she is, but la daita. And some say, no, we shouldn't give a get. Halitayo the Rosh of Yama, she's sitting, let us in more, who cares? We're not worried about her. In any event, there are some who claim if she's a mumeres, she went to Christianity in the extreme case, he can remarry a second wife without a heter mei rabbonim. And some say it's true even if she's what we call a misarevis. It's least of the abuses. Every woman is considered to call a misarevis in 2 seconds. She refuses to come to Bezd. It's always tricky. She refuses to come. She wanted it. She would come. She would come under what's different circumstances. It's a little bit complicated to pass on these things, but they're not doing it. just want to show you briefly inside. Take a look at that in the Mordechai at the end of Simin Tov Samach Zayin. Just to get again a little bit of a flavor that we've shown him that we did not have a chance to go into in detail. Ashes Mumar. Is it here? I thought it was here. We have the wrong Simon. But it is a discussion over here about an Ashes Mumar considered to be good for her to have a get, which is even better than a case of Mukas Shchin and Ketata. Mukas Shchin and Ketata described in the Ran at the beginning of the sixth parak, where it's a suffix. The Ran suggests the Rif who says you give her the get, but it's not considered a Mugaresh until later on. The Ran disagrees, as we said a few minutes ago. But the Maisa, we do a get Zikr when it comes up, and it does come up quite frequently. I just want to end with the following comment. And looking through my traditions, I was trying with the most recent topic, I found an article by Bleich Shlita, where he takes off the gloves and attacking a proposal by certain rabbis which are write a get zikui without the husband's consent. We're discussing the case without the wife's consent. The husband doesn't want to give a get. Oh, but it's good for him to give a get. So we'll write the get without his consent. Seems to go against everything we've learned the whole year. Where's the tzivui habal? How can it be? So, if I remember, I'll bring in the article for you for tomorrow to read it. There is a rabbi who wrote a whole book on this. It's in the library. I once saw it. I think if you look it up in the catalog, you'll see it. The book thing is called Lifdos Mechake Get. Not Kate, but Get. In which he advances this particular instrument, which I think Rabbi Black may have been attacking his idea or someone else's idea. Husbands want to give a get? We'll paskin and bezdin. It's good for him to divorce his wife. They're not living together anyway. Why is he being so spiteful, so hateful? Good idea for him to give a get. So, we'll say he probably was good for him to give a get. We'll write the get without his say-so, even against his protest. A schuz gone. The same as the possible say, if she refuses, so if he refuses. It's cannot be done. I'm just mentioning it to you, and if I'll try to remember to bring it in, so you can look at it at your convenience. But then tomorrow, we'll continue with the Chazara Shia at our regular time.
Okay. We're on page 8 shirts today.
I don't know what I'm trying to track.